People are now all over the world raising their families and building civilizations just as the Lord planned. The Bible focuses on the godly line of Adam, telling us a little about the men, all the way down to Abram, including his lifespan. It is a wonderful genealogy that allows us to know exactly when Adam was created, when the flood occurs, and when the Tower of Babel was built, and when Abram was called. 353 years have passed since the flood, and 253 years have passed since the Tower of Babel. Abram is born in Ur just 4 years after the death of Noah. Abram's brother Haran dies, and his father Terah moves the family up the Euphrates River and names their new home after his dead son, Haran. Abram is a godly man, and the Lord calls him for a special purpose and a wonderful blessing. He is to leave his family and move to a new place, a promised land, and the Lord will bless him and make him a great nation. The Lord promises to bless those who bless Abram and curse those who curse him. And when his father dies at the age of 205, Abram, who is now 75 years of age, leaves his extended family with his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and his wife, and Abram trusts the Lord to lead him to the promised land. Now the Canaanite descendants of Ham are living all over the land where the Lord is taking Abram, but the Lord promises that it will be his land. Therefore, Abram goes to a hillside between Luz and Ai, just south of Shechem, and he builds an altar to the Lord to worship him in the heart of Canaanite country. And the descendants of Ham's son and that have been cursed by Noah. Now, Abram is there in the promised land where the Lord wants him, but when things become difficult because of a famine, Abram disobeys God's plan and he moves on down to Egypt. And as they enter Egypt, Abram tells Sarai to tell the officials that she is his sister instead of his wife because she is so beautiful, even at the age of 65. Pharaoh's men see her beauty, and because they think she is Abram's sister, they take her to Pharaoh. Pleased with her, Pharaoh rewards Abram with cattle and servants, and even though Abram and Sarai are untruthful, Pharaoh remains honest and just. God sends plagues on Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh realizes that Abram lied to him. Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I would take her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Therefore, Pharaoh takes them to the border and sends them back with all the gifts that he has given them, and he wants nothing to do with them ever again. Pharaoh has made Abram rich as he travels back to the altar that he had built between Luz and Ai. At the altar, Abram cries out to the Lord, who answers him. Abram has left the Lord, but the Lord has patiently waited for Abram to return. There they stay, and Abram grows richer, as does his nephew Lot. Their families grow so large that they cannot continue to live together without arguments. Abram allows Lot to choose the portion of land he wants, and Abram graciously takes what is left of the land that the Lord has given him. Lot chooses the beautiful land to the east, and Abram takes the rugged land to the west. Lot makes his home in the city of Sodom, a city filled with wickedness. Looking at his portion, the Lord says to Abram, "Walk over all the land that you see, and I will give it to you and to your descendants forever, and they will one day be as numerous as the grains of sand." So Abram begins to walk the land, and when he comes to the oak trees owned by Mamre, he builds a new altar and worships the Lord. As Abram is making his home by the oak trees, trouble is brewing in the rest of the land around him. A king rules each town, and it is very common for some of the kings to join together to fight other kings from other towns. And after Lot leaves Abram, four of the strong kings begin to control five other kings in the area. And for 12 years, they dominate the five kings. But in the 13th year, the five kings rebel, and in the 14th year, war breaks out. The four kings begin to destroy every town in the way as they go to defeat the five kings who have rebelled. The Bible records the story of these nine kings. The five kings gather their forces in the valley of Siddim, a valley full of tar pits, where the four kings easily defeat them. They take all the supplies, food, and people out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they head north to their own towns. But a man escapes from the caravan and makes his way back to Abram to tell him about Lot's capture. Abram, ready to rescue his nephew, assembles 318 men who have been born in his household. At night, he catches up with some of the kings in the city of Dan, where he divides his men and defeats their forces. Going on, he follows the others north to Damascus, where he captures and defeats the rest of the group. And rescuing Lot and reclaiming all the possessions, women, and the children, he returns them to their homes in the south. Abram has successfully defeated the most powerful kings at the time, including the king of Shinar, now known to be the great Hammurabi of Babylon. As Abram is returning with all the people and the goods he has rescued, the king of Sodom comes to meet him. But before Abram speaks with him, he is approached by a priest of God, the Most High, who brings him bread and wine. His name is Melchizedek, and he is the king of Salem. He blesses Abram before Abram can speak to the evil king of Sodom. Then Abram gives Melchizedek 10% of all he owns. Now the king of Sodom says to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." And Abram says to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a single thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing except what the young men have already eaten and the shares of the three other men who went with me. Let them take their shares." Abraham is 85 years old, and he is concerned that he has no one to inherit his wealth except Eliezer, who lives in Damascus. Now the Lord promises to take care of Abram, and he will also father a son. "Now look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them," the Lord says. "So shall your descendants be." "But how will I know that this is true?" Abram asked. "Bring an offering of a three-year-old calf, a female goat, a ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon, and cut them in two." So Abram does as the Lord asks. During the day, he has to keep the scavenger birds from trying to eat the offering, and finally he falls asleep. And during his sleep, God tells Abram that his descendants will be the slaves of another nation for 400 years. But after that, they will come out of the nation very wealthy. At the same time, the Lord promises Abram a lengthy life and the land from the Nile River to the Euphrates to be his descendants. Because Sarah could not have children, she gave him the maid that she acquired while she was in Egypt so that they could have a child. Hagar, the maid, becomes pregnant and begins to act strangely towards Sarai. "What should I do with her?" she asks Abram. "She belongs to you, Sarai. Do as you please," he replies. Therefore, Sarah treats her harshly, and she runs away. The Lord finds Hagar down by a spring and tells her to return to the family to submit to Sarah's authority. If she will, the Lord will multiply her descendants beyond imagination. "Hagar, you are going to have a son, and you are going to name him Ishmael. He will be a donkey of a man," the Lord says. Ishmael is born when Abram is 86. 14 years has passed, and Abram is 99 when the Lord makes a covenant with him to multiply his family on the face of the earth. It is a promise because Abram is a righteous man who walks without blame in the eyes of the Lord. In this covenant, Abram is to have a new name, Abraham. And as a sign of the everlasting covenant, he is to circumcise himself and all the males under his care and authority. That day, Abraham does as the Lord instructs. The covenant of circumcision occurs on every male child on the eighth day after birth, including the slaves born in the care of Abraham's descendants. Any male not circumcised could not remain as part of the family or the household of Abraham. The Lord also changes the name of Sarai to Sarah and promises that she will be the mother of many nations, kings, and peoples. Now Abraham laughs at the Lord and says in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child. Abraham thinks the Lord is talking about Ishmael, but the Lord makes it very plain that he is talking about a new son named Isaac. The Lord says to Abraham, Sarah will have Isaac in 1 year. On one hot day, the Lord appears with two other men to Abraham at the oak trees that belong to Mamre. Abraham asks if he can fix the three men a meal, and they agree. The meal is prepared, and they eat it underneath the tree. Sarah is nearby and listens to the conversation. In 1 year, Sarah will have a child, she hears them say, and she laughs because she cannot believe she is going to have a child in her old age. When asked by the Lord why she laughed, Sarah does not remember that she laughed. But the Lord says to her, "You laughed." After the meal with Abraham under the tree, the Lord announces that he is going to destroy Sodom and all its surrounding towns because of their wickedness. Oh, Abraham asks if the Lord will kill the righteous among the wicked in Sodom. Will you destroy Sodom if 50 righteous men are found? No, says the Lord. Will you destroy it with 40 men? No, says the Lord. Suppose there are only 30 men, Lord, will you destroy it? No, says the Lord. Perhaps only 20? No, says the Lord. Maybe if only 10? No, says the Lord. The Lord leaves, and Abraham returns to the door of the tent, and he sits down. Leaving Abraham's tent, two of the angels arrive at the gate of Sodom as evening begins. Lot is there at the gate, and he invites them to stay in his house. No, they say, we will just stay here in the square. And Lot begs and pleads them to stay in his house, and they agree. The men and the boys in the town hear that two new men are there, and they are lusting to have sexual relationships with them. They knock at Lot's door, and the men come out. Take my two daughters, Lot says. They are virgins, and you may do with them what you wish. No, we want the men. So they move towards the door, pressing hard against Lot. The angels pull Lot into the house, and they blind the men and boys in the street. Gather all your family and leave this town, because we are going to destroy it, they say to Lot. So Lot goes to the homes of his sons-in-laws, and he begs them to come with him, but they think he's joking. Only Lot, his wife, and two of his daughters leave Sodom that night. Go and don't look back, the angel says. Get out of this entire region into the mountains or you will be hurt, one tells Lot. If we go to Zoar, will you destroy that city? No, the angel replies. So Lot and the three leave. But as the angel begins to destroy Sodom, Lot's wife looks back and she is instantly turned into a column of salt. Lot and the two girls press on, but they are so afraid to stay in Zoar, so they climb up on a mountain and hide. A rain of fire with burning sulfur stones descends on Sodom and Gomorrah, destroying it in the middle of the night. As morning dawns, Abraham comes up to see what all the commotion was about the night before. Looking from the hill, he sees all the destruction that no one could have survived. And on the mountain, Lot's daughters look out and see the land destroyed, and they think that they are the only humans left on earth. How will we continue, they say to each other. So they make a plan. That night, they give Lot wine until he is drunk, and one of the girls goes to him and becomes pregnant. The next night, when Lot is drunk, the other girl goes and does the same thing. One child receives the name Moab, and the other the name Ammon. In that same year that the Lord destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham leaves the oaks of Mamre to live in another area where Abimelech is king. Once again, Abraham tells Sarah to say that she is his sister. It's not a lie because she is his half-sister, having the same father but a different mother. As in Egypt, the men of Abimelech see her beauty and take her from Abraham. Even at the age of 89, she is desirable to the king. Why is he taking a woman at the age of 89? Abimelech is childless, and he is struggling to have an heir, so he is willing to try with any woman of any age to gain a son. However, before Abimelech sees or touches Sarah, the Lord comes to him in a dream and says, "You are a dead man, for you have taken a married woman." He is so frightened, and he returns Sarah to Abraham with gifts and cattle and servants. "Settle where you wish," he says to Abraham. To Sarah, he says, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver as vindication, so you are cleared before all men. Abraham prays for Abimelech and his family, and the Lord heals Abimelech and blesses him with his first child. The next year, Sarah gives birth to Isaac. Abraham is 100 and Sarah is 90. And when Isaac is 8 days old, Abraham circumcises him according to the covenant with the Lord. To celebrate Isaac's weaning at the age of 4, a party takes place. And at the party, Sarah hears Hagar mocking her. So Sarah speaks to Abraham and he tells her to do with Hagar as she pleases. Sarah sends Hagar and Ishmael away with bread and one bag of water. They wander in the wilderness until the food and the water are gone. Do not let me see my boy die, she cries out to the Lord. He hears and tells her to open her eyes, and when she does, she sees a well. They fill their bag with water. It quenches their thirst, and they make their home there in the land of Paran. Ishmael is 18 years old, and he is a great archer. In the next month, Hagar goes to Egypt, and he selects a wife for him. Abraham and Abimelech agree to be kind to each other, but a problem occurs. Some of Abimelech's servants have seized the water well that was dug by Abraham. Abimelech and Philcol, his commander, have been watching Abraham, and they are convinced that the Lord is helping him. Abimelech does not know who has taken possession of the well, but he does not want to war with Abraham. Abraham gives Abimelech 7 lambs as a sign that the well belongs to him, and Abraham names the well Beersheba, which means well of 7. Abimelech tells everyone in his family and the town of the oath, and that the name is the proof of the ownership of the well. Now Abimelech is a Philistine, a descendant of Ham, through his son Canaan. Beersheba is in the area controlled by the Philistines. Nevertheless, Abraham stays there a long time fulfilling scripture because the descendants of Canaan are serving the descendants of Shem. The time has finally come for the Lord to test Abraham and his faithfulness. Take your son, your only son, and offer him as a sacrifice in the land of Moriah on the mountains that I will show you. Because Ishmael is gone, never to return and live with Abraham again, the Lord is referring to Isaac, who is now a young man. With 2 servants and Isaac, Abraham loads a donkey with wood and they travel 3 days to the mountain area. At this point, Abraham has the servants wait for them and he loads Isaac with the wood and the two of them go on up on top of the mountain. We have everything but the offering, Isaac says, and the Lord will provide, Abraham replies. And on the mountain, Abraham builds an altar and lays Isaac, his only son, on it. However, before Abraham can kill Isaac, the angel of the Lord stops him, providing a ram caught in the brush as a substitute. Abraham sacrifices the ram, names the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. The angel of the Lord blesses Abraham because of his faithfulness, and he promises to bless him through descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens and the grains of the sand of the seashores. The two servants join them, and they return to Beersheba where they live. Now back in Beersheba, Abraham hears the family news about his brother Nahor, who stayed in Haran when Abraham left for the Promised Land after his father died. The Lord has blessed Nahor with 13 children and many grandchildren.